January the 6th, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Marad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.maradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talk that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihu kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. Al-Fatiha has 7 verses, double equals 14. Now this chapter is called the 7 matching verses, ayat. These 7 are referred to as 7 in doubles. So if you have 7 in doubles, the total would be 14, wouldn't it? Although the verses are 7, it has a reference also to 14. And this chapter, in my opinion, is addressing many things. It has been called the essence of the Holy Quran. What we want to look at this morning after the Fajr prayer is message to the whole world, and not just a message to the whole world, but it's message to the problems that are in the way of us having the world as one. So those that came before and gave the wrong understanding in religion caused us to see the world in pieces, in division, and lost the light that wanted us first to see the world as a whole, mankind as one, man's purpose as one, and also creation as one. We could discuss that later, maybe. So it starts off with Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Has God been understood not to be Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim? If he hasn't, then why is this here? This is the opening, so this is very important. So God must not have been understood as Al-Rahman and Al-Rahim. So this has direct reference to the scripture to the people of Abraham, to the scripture that came to the people of Abraham, the Jews and the Christians, and those in the world who have similar beliefs. So we find in the scripture, the Jews, there is one extreme, and in the scripture of the Christians, another extreme. So we are not here to criticize anybody's religion or anybody's scripture, okay? So I'm perfectly at peace with the Jews and the Christians when they follow their religion. Rahim addresses Jews' views of God as a punisher. So one extreme was from the Jews who made the world for Israel and made the God, the Lord of Israel, not the Lord of all people. So the God of Israel, etc. So this is the one extreme that Bismillahirrahmanirrahim comes to correct. And then the Christians came and they looked at the God of Israel through the teachings of Christ Jesus. As they understood the teachings of Christ Jesus, they looked at the Jewish people and the Old Testament, as they called it, and they resent the extreme the Jews went to, and they see the Jews' vision or perception of God as a God that is stern, severe, a punishing God, a God that ready to punish. So the Christian extreme is God as only love without restrictions. So the Christian went to the other extreme, and they say, God is a loving God. Now, you know, we cannot give God too much praise as a God of love and mercy, etc. But if you don't have that balance, then you lead the people to another extreme where God becomes lover and mercy, and they forget the restrictions. They forget the law. They forget that God is severe in punishment too. So we have these two extremes in the world, and the Quran came to correct that and put us squarely and solidly on our feet in the balance. You see, I just made a cross, didn't I? I said solidly on our feet and in the balance. So the Quran balances the extremes. So the Quran came to put us upright, solidly upon our feet and in the balance, not going to either extreme. And the messenger and the message to the world is that God is beneficent in the translation of the Ahmadiyyan, which is an excellent translation. It just has some problems, a few serious problems, but an excellent translation. Rahim, mercy, the womb of mother. So God is the beneficent, the merciful. And now we use the language of God, merciful in giving and generosity, in his kindness supplying us with all of our needs. So we say the merciful benefactor and the merciful redeemer. So God is mercy and redeeming man after he has gone astray, falling and lost the way. God is merciful to bring him back, to redeem him, to give him life again. His mercy gives him life in the first place from his mother. He came to life, and the life from his father, but I'm speaking of the compassion now. Mama is symbolic of the compassion that has shown the life. One teacher in al-Islam said the man carries the light burden, the woman carries the heavy burden. The sperm is light, and the baby in the womb is heavy. So the womb of the mama is the mercy of God, where life is received and cared for there in the domain of the womb of the mother. The exact language, you know, we don't use. Science tells us just what that baby is, but we don't know it in the stomach because it gets so large. The stomach just explodes almost. So she carries that burden of while the life is there. It is being cared for. It experiences no difficulty, and it comes out here and it can't remember any pain. We know it suffered, but it doesn't remember any pain. It can't recall any discomfort, and it unwrapped, walked up there very nicely and protected very nicely until it becomes fully developed for delivery into our world. So this is compassion, the mercy of God. Then when the baby comes out, the baby finds milk ready. So the mother doesn't have to say, oh, I got a living child here. What am I going to feed it? Food is there ready. Food is right where she would like to hold it next to her heart, right? So this is symbolic of the mercy and the beneficence of God. The merciful benefit comes with mercy to the human being. God is our Rahim. So we mentioned that he's mercy after we lose the way. Then he's mercy to help us come back to the way, to redeem us after we are lost or after we are astray. So that's why God is called our Rahim. It is to show that God is merciful, but he did not just become merciful with the Christian era. He was merciful from the very beginning in creating the world and creating life. So that is where we see his mercy. So he's giving, educating, and helping man to come to civilization has been his mercy. The people before the Christian era, the people of the book that were giving guidance, that guided them to the path of knowledge and benefit. So that is the mercy of God. So mercy is not just helping the sick, the blind to see. That's not the only mercy. The big mercy is that God created this beautiful universe, and he is so kind in bringing you the benefit of this universe. God is merciful, but don't forget that his mercy is not just coming. His mercy has been always. That's the point. We see God in the right light. We can praise him now with the right praise. The Bible says, with the perfect praise, Alhamdulillahi, praise be to God. So God is Lord of the world, not just one people. So the second problem, Rabbil Alameen. Somebody said that he's Lord of Israel. He's Lord of all the world. He's everybody's Lord equally too. So Rab close calls to the word Rabbian, meaning two parents. So the first verse is repeated, Al-Rahman and Al-Rahim. Why is the first verse repeated now again? It is repeated again because what interrupted this understanding or this perception of God, what blocked it, was that the same people, to some people, said he is their Lord exclusively, that he created them, raised them up, and evolved them. That's what it means. Lord means created and evolved altogether. So it is all in the same word. So you have both the ideas that he created the human being, but also evolved him. So it is a little stronger than parent. But this word is taken originally from a word that means parent. Question is in the Quran, where we still have that connection and the expression of my parents who raised me from a small child when I was helpless, who raised me up from the helplessness from a small child, depending on its parent. The word is Rabbian for the two parents who did that, Rabbian Sakira, Rabbiani Sakira, when I was a little helpless life. So we have Rab in there, still that connection. So the parent receives the life from the creation of God, and then the parent takes care of that life and helps that life along until it can manage for itself, seeing that it has opportunity to develop and reach its manhood, to reach its maturity, to reach its womanhood or manhood. So this is how God and some of our best teachers explain this. It is just my way. So this is the traditional way of explaining this in Al-Islam. Wound of creation, the body, then the wound of intellect. So reverence the wound that bore you. God is also the one who takes us from the wound of our mother in two main pictures. One is the picture of just nature, life, and the other is another picture, because man and women are more than biologic. Men and women are consciousness and intelligence. So he is the one who takes us from the wound of our mother. The word creation itself as a material body is our womb. So the womb of our existence. So we are born out of that womb. The womb of creation itself physically, but also mentally, also as a conscious, intelligent being. Mentally is not enough to say it. So God says also as a conscious, intelligent life. So we are taken out of the womb of creation, and it's God that gives us an intellectual birth. So we can't have it without God. We can have abortion and breech birth. We can have these incorrect deliveries, but we cannot have the perfect delivery that God created us for without God. So it is God also who takes us from that. So we are going to ease your way to a state of ease. And we are going to teach you so that you will not forget. That is the parrot, isn't it? And we are going to open up opportunities for you. God says this like a parrot. God took him when he was helpless, like a little baby, lost without anyone to care for him, and took him and comforted him like a mother does a little baby, then nourishes him step by step. Every time a need arose, God was there to prepare him to get the benefit and not suffer except for a little, but get the benefit. Or even if he had to suffer much, benefit was so much greater that the suffering was forgotten. So this is the God of mercy. So it is repeated after Rebbil Alameen. So the one who raised has done this for the whole world is certainly El Rahman and El Rahim. That's why it is repeated. They got the problem of the Lord of Israel out of the way. And now you see that the Lord is the Lord of all the world. He has done this all over the world. Now say it again, Al-Rahman, Al-Rahim. The Quran Surah 1, Ayah 4, Master of the Day of Judgment. So the next verse is Maliki Yawmiddin. All of this is addressing the wholeness of the world, the wholeness of the human life. So this is what is addressing. So this is the universal message with a focus on the whole world and the universal plan of God, not a regional plan, a national nor a local plan, but a universal plan of God. Do you see? So this is a universal message, and it is fulfilling its mission. It has a mission, not only a message. It is a message, and its mission is to bring the kindness and mercy, gifts, and blessings of God to all his creation. Without any unjust discrimination, this is the message. The Quran, Surah 95, Ayat 8, Allah best to judge. Mark 12:36, set on my right hand. So you say your God is the king. Your Lord is also king of Israel. So he is the God of Israel. He is the Lord of Israel. Is he also the king of Israel? No, this is the king. This is the real judge, the real master of the day of judgment. The same one, not a different one. The same one who is master of the day of judgment. It is the one that scripture says, set down at my right hand. No. The same one who is the master on the day of judgment with no one sitting at his right hand in the judgment. No, there is no one sitting at his right hand in the judgment. He is the judge alone, and he is the one who can be judged. Another reference to God in this connection that touched me when I was a young man studying in the Quran, to know the religion, the Quran says, who is better to judge? The one who created and has existed always, or the one who comes later and is himself created? You think about that. I thought about it, and I said, this is a terrible error that the world made, a terrible injustice to God. So this is not fair. This is a bad way to, who has given us everything, created everything for us. And now we are going to go, somebody else comes to redeem us and judge us. What do they know about us? They just came here like we did. What do they know about the beginning of our sins with Adam? They weren't here when Adam was created. They didn't see Adam in his life, how he lived it. The only thing that they can do is have some revelation from God to understand that themselves now are the going to be the judge. They can't judge it. So God is the judge. He is the king. So this word Malik has reference to judge. It has reference to king also. King, judge, and master. So the translator translated master. They translated master because the king is a ruler over the people. So this is using the language of man's history and life tradition, the evolution of his language. So this nature and development of his language. So he says king, and it means the master. No, God is the master. God is the king, and also judge on the day of judgment. So when you put it with that end day, the final day, then it becomes judge, right? Because it is always addressing scripture that came before. So this means master of the day of judgment. And the judgment is that deen, the same word that is religion, right? So deen, day of judgment, day of death. The judgment, Yom HaDin. So when you put the term Yom HaDin, it becomes a day of judgment. But without Yom going before it with that reference to the day of judgment in scripture and the language of the people of the book, it means what? The religion. Ad-Din means the religion. But in the Arabic language, Ad-Din doesn't necessarily mean religion. Ad-Din comes from a word, day, that also means death. So it means that the day of religion, it means the day of judgment, yes. So we know that. But what is in its root meaning? What does it stem from? It stems from the idea that we all are indebted to God and our life should be lived in a way to pay up the debt. We are all indebted to God and our life should be a paying up the debt. You pay up the debt with your life. Deen, religion, shows man how to pay the debt. So the day of judgment is the day when we pay up the debt. And I'm sure that meaning is in all people's religion that believe in the judgment day. So this is the debt. When you are going to pay the debt in full. So the revelation Quran came and gave us a new meaning of religion. So what is religion? Religion is the way God gave us. I'm talking about it as revealed religion now, not just religion generally speaking. Man has different religions, but the religion that came from God to man, it is guidance or light to show man how he is to pay the debt. So God has given you life. And you have a debt to live it according to the God to God's plan for your life because he gave it to you. That is the debt, right? So God gave you your life. You didn't create yourself. You didn't give yourself life. So you have a debt to God, and the debt is living life the way God intended for you to live it. And that's how you pay up the debt. And that is religion, isn't it? The same. See how clear it is? It is the same. To you we worship, serve. Man gives his whole life to God and serves each other in part. So if I live my life in the way that God, the Creator, who gave me this life, intended me to live it, I am living my religion. But God didn't just leave us with that. God gave us the light so that we could see exactly what we are to do to have al-Islam in our life as a way of life, a guide, a pattern to follow and obey, etc. So what is the next verse referring to? I think we understand when I say master, each verse is referring to a problem that existed before, right? Iyaka no abudu. translated, to you alone do we worship. So worship means serve. To you alone we serve as a servant, a slave. To you alone do we give our life in service. Our whole life is given like a slave gives his whole life in service to his master. So to you alone, God, we give our life, talking about the whole life, because you know we serve each other, don't we? But we don't give our whole life to anybody, only God. It's talking about the life. So you alone do we serve, and you alone do we beg for help. Nesta'im means seek assistance from God. So now we know we seek assistance from each other too. So we are helped by each other. Parents help their children, and children in turn help their parents. So we are helping each other. So this help is just like that. This help must be understood in the content of this chapter. It is talking about whole life, help for the whole world, not help for somebody that needs a job or help for somebody that needs to get off of alcohol or drugs. It is not talking about that help. It includes that help, but this is mainly addressing help that we need to manage this life in this vast creation, especially on earth with other human beings. So this is help it is talking about. The Quran, Surah 61, Ayat 14, Jesus, who will be help. So when Jesus asked his companions in the Quran to be his helpers, their reply was, we are your helpers for God. But actually it means to get where God wants us to go. So we are your helpers in the path to God. Now that language, the term path, is not there in the language at all. But that is what it means. So we are your helpers in the path of God to arrive at the destination to meet God. So we are your helpers. It is not quite this language. A different word is used, the term ansara, the disciples of Jesus. Christ, peace be upon him, that word helps like the Ansar of Medina. They helped the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, who was badly in need of people to respond to him so that he would be able to establish the Ummah. Seek you for help. It is for the purpose of life. So this help is not just help for the little travel things. This is help in the big picture. All of Al-Fatiha is the big picture. It's talking about the whole picture, help for the big cause, etc. So we turn only to you for help, for that help. Now, can you see how clear it is? You can't turn to anyone else but God. He designed the creation he made. If you go against his will or his purpose, in it, you are going to have trouble. He put it under laws, etc. So if you don't know what you are doing, you are going to have trouble. I can't go to somebody who just came last year and get help for that big task, how to live in God's creation. I must turn to God who made creation to know how to live in his creation. So you alone, now you understand it, right? A lot of us, we read this all the time, but we don't understand it. You alone, you turn to your mama, you turn to me, you would turn to a bum out in the streets if he's the one that has what you need at that time, right? So you turn to everybody for help. You turn to many things for help. Farmers turn to the land for help. God isn't the only one we turn to for help. That's readily understood. So that is what it is saying. to you alone, and we try to rationalize it. Whatever help comes to you, it comes from God through something else. It is talking about help for the purpose that God created you for. Help to arrive at that destination. Help for the purpose for which God has created you. So that is what we need. We need the help to live our life in the context of God's creation or this material universe, and particularly in the context of man as a global community or society. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 213, man, community was one. And this is the language that's freeing us up to live with each other as one community. Yes, God says, and your community was once one community. So this Al-Fatiha comes to prepare us for that. Al-Fatiha, we can discuss this until next year, this time if God keeps us awake, keeps us on this floor, and sustain us. It is so rich and so full of so many things. It would take volumes and volumes. Many have written volumes on this seven verses. Be patient with me, and we are going to complete this and get to something else, but it might take us a little longer because the sun may rise. In fact, the sun is rising now. It is almost 7:30 a.m. still. We'll rise, inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a good time for the sun to rise at 7:30 a.m. So this verse, we have made some comments on it, and I think you understand clearly what I'm trying to pass on to you. Body, form, cross, balance is at the shoulders. The Quran, Surah 3, Ayat 102, die not except as Muslims. So when you are looking at man with connections of matter, the earth that he is born out of and lives upon and works with, look at man separate from the earth. The balance is here at the shoulder, and the base of the feet is still a cross, isn't it? So actually his own posture in upright position is a cross, and God says, thou not accepting the state of a Muslim on the cross, but not the cross that they are talking about, the cross of the balance of life for human beings. Thou not accepting that balance that God wants for your life. Die in that upright state in the balance. And it just doesn't mean die physically. It means do not give your consciousness to something else, to another idea, to another person. Do not give your own consciousness except that you be upright and in that balance. So path one, Sirat, refers to composite soul, path of knowledge, brain. Two, Sabil. So the word for path is Sirat, but there are other words for the path. God's path is referred to most often as Sabil, not Sirat. So Sabil is a very general term and used for God to include all that man's life need to reach here. It is supposed to go. So the garden, pardon me, so the guidance for the whole life to help man arrive where he's supposed to go is the Sabil of God. So in that path, we have an obligation to give charity, to defend the faith, to do many things in that path. But this term Sirat is referring to human life, the soul, complete human life, and the intellect, the whole composite creature, with all of these systems that I referred to last night as different lives in him, moral, mental, life, etc. So this Sirat is really a path of knowledge. It's more than that, but its strongest reference is the path of knowledge. So this path of the development of your brain, your human excellence, so this is path for the development of your human as a rational being with an intellect. So it is Sirat al-Mustaqim. So now you can understand why it's vertical. So we start on the ground and we go up from the base. That's a vertical growth. But don't forget the movement is also horizontal because we move. We do not stand in one place. So now we can understand that this is the path that those that God favored with the adamant immediate reference to Abraham, Na'im blessing. And then it is also Barakah, but it's bigger than and richer and more inclusive than just blessing that we see in the world, in the word Barakah. So we say Ramadan Mubarak, right? So that's from Barakah. Na'amah is the blessing that comes after, cut off from the blessings, and we're still looking at it, this big picture. So this is not just blessings of health. God bless me with health. I don't have a cold, the flu, like every day. Here, I don't have this disease or that disease. That is blessings too. But this is a much bigger blessing than that. This is the blessing that man needs to stand his life up in this world and to have it at peace, a peaceful existence and a perpetuous life. So this is the blessing after it has been cut off. The Quran, Surah 31, Ayah 13, oppressed, worst form is shirk. Abraham, father, prayed, then left. So Abraham was the one referred to because his father was a wise, powerful man. He was a ruler in the time of Abraham, but his father was also an idol worshiper. And it was God who guided Abraham to rebel against the idol worship of his father. Shirk, idol worship, is the worst form of oppression. So Abraham was given the wholeness for his intellect. So we have a figure in Adam that was whole, complete, and perfect in his creation, but in his consciousness, he was not. In his intellect, he was not. He had yet to reach the destination. So midlife, universal hope, Sunnah of Abraham. So the Quran, Surah 16, Ayat 123, follow Abraham's way. So Abraham comes and he gives himself to God. And the world is demanding now this universality in his day. So the world was demanding that universality that makes it possible for all men to live and work together in peace as brethren. And God gave it to Abraham. God says in the Quran, you are the leader of the nation. And refers to his way as a sunnah. The sunnah of Abraham, the upright in faith. Much is to be said about this. I hope I don't hold you like I used to do on Stony Island. But that punished me and you. So the middler of Abraham, this term middler means a hope. They translate it different ways. They say the order of Abraham, but it literally means the hope of Abraham. So God opened his eyes, and he saw where mankind should go. And it was his hope, but how to get there, or to get him there. So others were to inherit that responsibility. And so the way is shown how to get there. So we have the Sunnah of Abraham, the upright in faith. And then we have the Sunnah of Muhammad, which we'll come back to. Inshallah, maybe. So wrath, the path of whom you bestowed favor, your great favor. So your blessings, not the way of those who earn your punishment, not those who invited your wrath, or your wrath came down on them. Now, who earned the wrath? Those that didn't see the big picture, the wholeness of matter, the wholeness of life. For human beings, they didn't see the big picture. And because they missed the big picture, they didn't walk the path of rational intellectual growth and development. So they thought that they were on it, but they were not. And really, the great wrath came upon them because they got off of the path. In the path is the mercy and the grace of God. Out of the path is the wrath and the punishment, yes. So punish is from man's own creation. The Quran, Surah 3, Ayat 117. Allah wrong not but from self. So don't think of God as someone who with a whip. His hands, that's not the God. The whip is in your creation. And God says it is not God that harms you. It's you that harm yourself. So you have wronged your own soul. We need a picture of God's existence and purpose that doesn't do a disservice and discredit our own intelligence God created us with. Look how long mankind been living with a picture of God that actually does a disservice to his own intelligence and disrespect. His own intelligence, a big disrespect. Man has been created to have more intelligence than that and to have more sense than that, to not to accept stupid ideas that go contrary to direction in his excellent life, for his excellent heart, soul, and spirit. Healing means heavy weight. The Quran, Surah 73, Ayat 5, we send down a weighty word. So this is a big matter here. So this is no small matter. That's what I'm trying to impress upon you, brothers and sisters. This is no small matter. This is a big matter. And God says we are going to entrust to you a weighty word, not a light word, a heavy word, weighty word. So this is no small issue. So when you know religion in the right way, you are supposed to be builders of the world in service to God, as what you are supposed to be. So you can't be satisfied just to have hymns, books, and zikrs, eat, and go to sleep and have sex like a dog or a cow or something. You can't be satisfied with that. This religion opens up your mind and makes your mind as big as the sun. And the sun is rendering a great service to life on this earth. Allah says, I am making man, not let us make man. So the Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 30, I am going to place the Khalifa in the earth. Genesis 1:27, let us make man. So I mentioned it many times. I have to tell you again because I just read this more and more. I'm beginning to understand what Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, was saying when he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the archangel Jibril his creation. It is important to know how he addressed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angel said, Rabbi, my Lord. Rabbi means he did not evolve himself. God evolved him. So nothing exists until God brought that into existence. So God was existing alone. So this is the teachings of the prophet. So the mystics and all of the righteous guided servants of God. That's God existing alone before there was anything. It did not say angels were existing. So where did they get this idea that angels were existing? God said, let us make man. In the Bible, not in the Quran. In the Quran, God says, I'm making man. It did not say let us to correct that idea. In the Bible, it says, let us make man in our own image and likeness. In the Quran, it says in Arabic, inna ja'alun fi'ati khalifa. Surely I am making on the earth a khalifa. It did not say we. That has direct reference to what the Bible says. So khalifa is from the word meaning path, Adam's light. So the Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 30, I am making a khalifa in the earth. The Quran, Surah 27, Ayah 2, I am making a Khalifa in the earth. The Quran, Surah 18, Ayah 110, I am mortal. I am a mortal like you. John 14:20, I in you and you in me. So we have Adam as our first father, and he is called Khalifa. So where did the word Khalifa come from? It comes from a word having in its meaning the concept from the past, in the rear, behind, not in front. So they did not have these terms we had in science nowadays, like the term inherent, native, my native life, my inheritance, hereditary. Hereditary means getting it from the past. We say in science, this is hereditary trait, a hereditary aim in human life. So when we say that, we are meaning that it is something that we did not come here with except from our parents who were before us. We received it from them. We inherited it, or we got it from their genes or from their natural life. From they got it from their previous ancestors before them. And it traces all the way back to the beginning of time. And we say Adam. It goes back to Adam. So the world of science is saying the same thing. That God says, when he says, I am making in the earth a Khalifa, I am making an inheritor in the earth. Later on, God speaks of inheritors, but he first mentioned Khalifa, which tells us that the meaning of being behind us, not in front of us. So there is a phrase, Unthur Khalif. That means look behind you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a Khalifa, and if Adam, the first man, was made to be a Khalifa, then all of his children have the potential, have the possibility of being Khalifa. Every human being is made Khalifa, but some of us are not brought to see that or to see ourselves in the mold consciously. So we are not consciously aware of it, but it is in our nature. God has made it human with something that the other humans did not have in their nature. Whatever Allah made any human being to have in his nature, he made all human beings to have that in their nature. Hence, Jesus Christ said, I in you, and you in me. And Muhammad the prophet was told by God to say in Arabic, Kul ana basharun basharun muflikun. Kul ana basharun muflikun, translated, I am a mortal human person like you. Meaning that whatever you are created, your natural creation is the same as my natural creation. So that makes sense to me, and I like that. So my mind do not have to be paining, do not have to be hurt. I do not have to hope that I have something else said to me behind that so I can get rid of this feeling that makes me suspect that I should not listen to you anymore. So I see human beings. I see births of human beings. And my own intelligence tells me that all human beings come here alike. They do not come here superior to one another. It is the opportunity they get in this world that makes some excel and some do not because of the bad circumstances or good circumstances that they get in this world. So that is what comes to my mind as an intelligent person. All of us should pride ourselves as being intelligent. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made no other life like human life being so intelligent. So we should be appreciative of this special intelligence that God has given us, and we should respect it and value it. And we should be conscious of ourselves and our intelligence value. in our brain value more than our joint value. Adam, man, pattern, existed before he was created. So Quran Surah 3, Ayat 96, Kaaba built for all mankind. So Quran Surah 9, Ayat 107, pray in the mosque built on taqwa. So we offer the following to you who love truth, God says, of that house that it is the first and the most ancient of houses, built for all people. And then he says that I am making a khalifa on the earth, and here is another symbol whose existence goes back to the first man and then goes back to the creator. So his model, his nature, his form was with God even before he was made. Before he was made, his form or pattern was with his God. So the Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 30, Nafs refers to the non-physical person. So he made them from one soul. Nafs means person. But in this respect, it never thought of as a physical, material person, not as flesh. The flesh body is called something different, like in English, we say person, body, etc. So we have different terms. So when we say body, and you think of material body. So when you say person, you think of a particular person by name. So when you speak of person, a person you speak of, then you with some knowledge of them as a person. And if you have knowledge of them as a person, your knowledge of them as a person is more important than your knowledge of them as flesh. So I can see a person one time and see what you have been seeing for 50 years, and I do not need to see any more. I saw his flesh, and it was enough for just a couple of minutes. I don't have to see his flesh for 50 years like you did, but you have seen what I have not seen. If I am just meeting that person physically, you have seen the person inside of the flesh, and that is what this is talking about. Each person has a psyche and a psychology. So Nafs is from the same word that you get the word psyche and psychology. So the word Nafs in Quran and the Arabic language is more closely related in meaning to the psyche of the human person than it is to anything else. And you know, from psyche, you get psychology. The psychologist does not always refer to the study of the mind. Each one of us have our personal psychology. For each person, there is a psychology, not only a psyche. So psychology refers to responding spiritually. So psychology means that the way you are most likely to respond and behave spiritually. So that is why I said, you are a spiritual body more so than a material body. So in the world we study, in the world we study it, and we call it psychology. In religion, we call it spiritual sciences. So the spiritual sciences of the human nature and behavior is from Nafs and Wahida. He made two from one soul. So we have to get away from thinking that Adam and Eve, in material sense, flesh. A lot of the students of religion have come up with these wrong ideas. So the Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 30, will you create one who will shed blood? The Quran, Surah 7, Ayat 12 to 13. Iblis refused to bow. You made me fire. Him mud. The Quran, Surah 15, Ayat 28 to 31. Angels submitted to Adam, not Iblis. Al-Hadith, page 3, 131, 7. Prophet Jinn became a Muslim. So the angels do not reason or question. Jinn performs as an angel, and Jinn questions reason. Story of all of the trouble that we are addressing during these 3 days of Ramadan, during these sessions, it started with someone who is the leader over the angels in heaven. So he was not a true angel. He was a jinn, but he was performing in the role of an angel. Now, how is it possible that a jinn can be the leader for the angel? As long as he has no wrong in him, he is superior to the angel if he can perform in the plane of angels, and he is a jinn, he is superior to them because he can perform in their role as angels, but he has a role that they can't perform. They cannot question things. They can only respond to what God wants without reasoning or questioning their thing. But the jinn is like human. He's rational. He can question things. He is also capable of performing as an angel. He has the advantage over the angels, who can only perform as angels but can't question things. So the superiority is very clear when God says, I'm going to create a mortal human being, meaning that he will be like the jinn and that he will have the ability to examine and questioning things and come up with his own independent decision. But he will have human nature, not jinn nature. So humans reason and is a sensitive and sympathetic. So human nature means he will be a sensitive creature and sympathetic. So this human being is going to be a different creature from the angels in that he can question and reason and he wants to grow in understanding and knowledge. And he's going to be different from the jinn in that he will be sensitive and sympathetic. So he will have compassion on the little guy, sympathy on the suffering. He will be different from both of them, the angels and the jinn. So when this was announced to the angels by God, the jinn Iblis, who was performing as an angel at that time, he was an angel whether you can buy it or not. I don't have enough time to deal with all of these little small things today. At this time, Iblis was performing in the role of an angel. And he was an angel, but he wasn't an angel by creation. He was an angel by circumstances. Circumstances that put him with the angels. So he was performing as an angel. But when the test came to see if he was really truly an angel, he couldn't pass it because he was a jinn. And he could think and reason it. So when his thinking came into the picture, he said, no, I am not going to accept this. I am better than those creatures. I'm the leader way up here above all of them down there. Are you going to choose something that doesn't have my wisdom, my knowledge, my skills, and my ability? And I have been faithful to you, God, here, up here with the angels. I have even kept them for you. But God said, when I have breathed into him of my own spirit and inspired him of my own self, then you accept him, you submit to him. So it made Iblis arrogant and defiant. In Arabic, it is abad wastakabira, which means he defied the order and he became proud and arrogant. He saw himself too big to submit to what he was asked to do. God said, get you down from here, all of you together, so the angels and the jinn and the men were cast down. The Arabic word kubad means all together, like an organized group in an organized form, and were cast down together. Salakallahu gadeen, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Day. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. We will continue this next Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Thursday at 7 p.m. Inshallah. It only means if it please God. With that, thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.